Now, I'm going to open with a question. Everyone here has heard fairy tales. I'm wondering what you guys think of first when you think of a fairy tale. Well, you think of princesses and dragons and knights and princes and witches and wizards. But one thing they have all in common is love. They have romantic love, familial love, friendship, and among other things, love. The moral of a majority of fairy tales is love conquers all. Now, what is love? According to Merriam-Webster, as a noun, love means strong affection for another, arising out of kinship or personal ties. This is the first definition. The second is a warm attachment, devotion, or enthusiasm. Now, this is different from what the Bible says about love. The Bible has its own definition in 1 Corinthians 13. I have that on the screen there in a second. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And it is not proud. None of this is in the definition in Merriam-Webster. This is God's personal definition. The Lord demonstrates his love in several stories throughout the Bible, but the one I'm going to be drawing attention to today is the story of Saul and Ananias. In Acts 9, it begins by saying, meanwhile, while Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Now, this is not what you think of when you think of love, right? Now, I bring attention to that specific verse because later in this chapter, in the story, God blinds Saul. He does this to protect his followers, and he knows it's what Saul's needs. And now God could have solved this problem easily by just keeping Saul blind. He can't do anything to the believers while he can't see them, right? But God still sends Ananias to Saul to heal him. Now, this is dangerous because Saul is known to be, well, rather against Christianity at this time, and he was kind of the worst of the worst when it comes to the persecutors of the early church. Now, while him still being the worst of the worst, God still sent one of his believers at risk to the believer to save Saul. Now, this is God's love. God knows everything about us. He knows what we've done, what we've thought about doing, thought about saying, even said, and yet he still sent help to us. He still sent his son to die for us. Now, if you were to look at the person next to you and you would know everything that they've said or thought about you, whether to your face, behind your back, everything they've done, whether it be to you, to other people, God knows all of this and he still loves us. Would you still, in the cold, take off your coat and hand it to the person next to you if you knew, let's say, for example, that, I'm pulling it out of my head, they've been having a drinking problem for several years and, I don't know, had a accident or something like that. Would you still hand them your cloak? God would. That is God's love. He sees the worst and he still gives his love to us. That is how we are different. We as humans see people through their actions. Some of us may say we like to think the best in other people, and for the majority of the time it's true, but as soon as we see otherwise, we take a step back. Now, this is not what God does. God is there the whole time. He holds your hand. He listens and he still loves us. God's love is different. Using the analogy of fairy tales, it's God saw the frog in The Princess and the Frog, just as the princess saw the frog. First, she met him as the frog. That's what God sees. But she still loves him as the prince because that is God's love. We are constantly seeking out God's brand of love because we know in ourselves that we are not perfect. We have done things. And we know that there are certain things that if people knew about us, they wouldn't be as inclined to love us like God does. Now, in Psalms 139, verses 1 through 3, he proves this by saying, "Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." All of them. That's the key point here. He says all. And yet he still came down. He still sent his son to die for us, despite knowing all of our ways. Again, in Psalms 36, verses 5 through 7, he says, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love! Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings." It is not an accident that God says, both high and low men. He loves all of us, all people equally, and that is God's love. He is fair. It says, both high and low, not good people, not nice people, not lawful people. God would look at the person who is, like she was talking about, I forget your name, probably because I'm nervous, but she was talking about shame and how it's like a phantom shame. And I'm bringing this to that because he felt bad. He was in prison. He'd repented and thought about his actions, realized they were wrong and all that. Now, if we do this, no matter what we do, God still opens up his arms to us. That is his love. God loves people. He loves criminals. He loves nuns. He loves families. He loves children. He loves us all. And that is God's love. Now, this is probably way shorter than I thought it was going to be. You talk faster when you're nervous, so. Thank you. This is all I have. I'm going to close in prayer here for us today. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love, Lord, that you came down for us. We know deep down that none of us are deserving and that we, I guess, all deserve to die, but you sent your son down and he died for us. And Lord, I deeply thank you for that. It is through your love that we have been saved, and that is the most amazing thing ever, Lord. And I thank you so much, Lord. You did not owe us anything, yet you came down and died. Thank you, Lord.